There's times that all you need is Jesus, nothing else. And from simply just having Jesus, He's able to bless any man, any woman, any young adult to be a man, a woman, a young adult that is blessed of God, that started off with nothing else but Jesus. Father, here this day, I pray that you have your way. Holy Spirit, we give you full permission here this day, full access into our hearts, our thinking, that you would be in control here this day, and that we would bow before your presence, Lord, and be obedient to what you have for each and every one of us here this day, and that we be able to walk away from your temple with your plan within our heart, our thinking of making those shifts, those changes that are so desperately needed within our lives in the day and age that we're living in right now. Thank you, Lord. And we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here in this beautiful Sunday morning. Are you excited here this day? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it brings me great honor to be able to introduce one of my spiritual sons, amen, that got sent out to Jacksonville, Florida, roughly give or take 3.5 to 4 years ago, amen, and is here with his beautiful wife, Tammy, amen. They look rested up. They're without the children, amen. Pastor Felipe preaching in Jacksonville right now, but Pastor Jamie still got to preach, amen, even though he ain't at home, amen. So let's give Pastor Jamie Darrow from VO Jacksonville a good clap offering as he makes his way up here this beautiful day to share the good news with each and every one of us. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's great to be here. Amen. You may go ahead and be seated. Thank you, worship team. Amen. It's great to be in Milwaukee. Come on now. This is where I was raised. Come on now. Before I get into it, I actually want to call up my wife. I didn't tell her I was going to call her up, but ready or not, right? In and out of season. Amen. I'm going to call up my wife, Tammy, just to share a word of greeting. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. God bless you. It's always a blessing to come home. Amen. This is where my roots, my home church is. Amen. I love my spiritual parents, Pastor Charlie, Sister Marlene. Amen. They invested so much into my life. I've been in Victory Outreach here in Milwaukee for 13 years, and then we got launched out to Jacksonville, Florida, and it's been the adventure of a lifetime. But here in Milwaukee, I got the tools that I needed. Everything that I'm facing and using there in Jacksonville, I learned here. I learned from my spiritual parents. I learned from the congregation, the people around me that made me better, amen, that equipped me, amen, for the work that I get to do there in Jacksonville. And it's a privilege. It's an honor. I love coming to Milwaukee, seeing old faces, seeing new faces, and that God's still moving here in Milwaukee, still producing, amen. And I'm excited, you know, when I see things about the next man up, amen. It's happening. It's been happening for as long as I've been a part of Victory Outreach Milwaukee. We started pioneering stage, so I know what that's like, amen. And it's exciting. It's exciting just to surrender and let God use your life, amen. So I challenge you today. I pray that God has a word for you, amen. And I just pray you stay open. You're in a good place here in Victory Outreach Milwaukee. You have the best pastors, the best spiritual parents, amen. And I pray that you treat them good, amen. I'm not around, so I hope I hear good reports, amen, that you're taking care of our wonderful spiritual parents, amen. I love you, and God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I bring greetings, amen, from Jacksonville. That's your baby church. Come on now, that's your baby church. How many know Victory Outreach Milwaukee is making an impact, not just in Milwaukee, amen, but in Jacksonville and even throughout the world, amen. You got fruit in Amsterdam right now. Come on now. Europe representing. Pretty soon you're going to have some fruit in Africa, the Philippines. Come on now. And that just might be some of you. Praise the Lord. So I bring greetings from Jacksonville, the church. Amen. We're still moving forward as a church. Amen. And we're growing and God is moving. Amen. And God is providing. Come on, somebody. And God is doing great things. And we're believing God for more and more miracles, amen, treasures out of darkness. How many know we just came back from a powerful, powerful conference there in California, our world conference. It was so powerful, amen. And maybe, you know, many of us went. Maybe you didn't get an opportunity to go. I want to challenge you to go back online and to watch those services, amen, because they got them online. I promise you, God will speak to you. How many need a word from God? You need God to do something in your life, in your family, in your ministry. It was powerful just being there. It's been a while. We haven't been able to gather together, you know, for over 5 years there at conference, but it was great seeing the international family from Europe and Africa and Asia, amen, and from Milwaukee, praise the Lord. It was great seeing everybody there at the conference. And I know God poured into us. I know all of you that went to conference, God poured into you. You know, I know God poured into us that went from Jacksonville. From Jacksonville, we were able to take like 15 people from Jacksonville there to the conference. And I know that God poured into us. Amen. But now it's up to us to take what God has poured into us and now put it to work. Amen. Put it to work. Because I don't know about you, but after a conference like that, I can't go back to business as usual. I can't go back to business as usual because one of the songs said, you know, about the name of Jesus changes things. When you call on the name, things change. And we're believing God for change, for growth, for increase. How many can say amen? I thank God this morning for Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene, my spiritual parents, amen, that raise me up in the things of the Lord. Amen. I'm always, always grateful for them. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be standing here this day. Amen. And so we give honor where honor is due. So thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to come and to minister to the people of God this morning. Praise God. Amen. You guys hungry this morning? I'm trying to look and see if you guys got that hunger this morning. Amen. You guys lean back like, you know, ready for a nap, or you guys on the edge of your seat, you're like, you're ready, you're nipping at the bit, you want something, yeah. Amen. How many know when you come to church, don't come just, oh, it's Sunday, we got to go to church now. And then, no, when you come expecting, because you're not just coming to church, you're coming to the house of God, where God abides. You're coming to a place where the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit is present. So when you come expecting, come anticipating miracles. I mean, God has done many miracles in the past, but our God ain't done yet. Our God ain't done yet. I said, God ain't done yet. God's got some fresh miracles. Some fresh people that he wants to save and deliver and set free. Some fresh men and women of God that he's going to call into the ministry. Amen. That are going to raise up and to go to the four corners of the world. Praise God. So come. I pray that you're expecting this morning, that you're anticipating a word, not from Pastor Jamie. Amen. Because I died this morning. Amen. I said, God, not me, but let it be all you. Come on now. Take your Bibles with me. Turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. Exodus, chapter 14. This is a message that I shared some of this message with my church a few months back, but it also was birthed out of a personal word that God gave me personally. But I believe it's going to encourage you as well. Amen. If you want to put a title, if you're taking notes here this morning, I want to challenge you to take notes. Because how many remember everything you hear? Amen. I titled this message this morning, Get Up and Get Going. Tell your neighbor, get up and get going. Get up and get going. Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 15. It reads like this. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." And Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." Or the New King James Version says, to move forward. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. We thank you for your beautiful presence that is within this place. And I pray right now, God, that you would just open every heart and every life. God, that it would be you by your Holy Spirit speaking and ministering to each and every one of us. Lord, that we'd be able to receive your word and take hold of it and be able to move forward toward the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We ask for your presence and your anointing in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Now, I know many of you have heard this story maybe several times, but how many know that that's the, one of the greatest things about the Word of God is that you could read it year after year after year after year, and if you're open and if you're willing and if you're sensitive, the Holy Spirit would speak to you afresh, even if it's a scripture that you've read a million times, a scripture that you've studied a thousand times, amen? If you're open and prayerful, God will speak to you again. Come on now, because the Word of God is alive. And it's living. It's not dead. It's not just some dead religious book. Can I hear somebody say amen? But when you read this scripture, it's the story of the Israelites being delivered out of Egypt. As the Israelites were there in Egypt in slavery, in bondage for over 400 years. How many at one time, maybe you were in bondage? Come on now, you were, maybe some of us were slaves to addiction. You were slave to poverty. You were slave to depression. Come on now, to discouragement. But how many know God heard their cry when they were locked up there in Egypt and God sent a deliverer named Moses? See, God heard the cry of Milwaukee. He sent the deliverer named Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene. Come on, somebody. Because God was concerned for them. And he delivered them. And God did miracles. And really, the people of God, they didn't have to do nothing. Amen. It was through the ministry of Moses. God was the one that sent the plagues. God was the one that delivered his people out of Egypt. And as they were delivered, they were marching out of Egypt in victory. Marching out delivered, marching out saved, rescued, delivered out of Egypt. Where were they going? Well, God had promised them a good land flowing with milk and honey. God had promised their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he was going to give them the land of Canaan. And they came out of Egypt. They came out of bondage, but then they found themselves in a tough spot? How many ever find yourself in a tough spot, not just before you met Jesus, but even in Jesus? Sometimes things get hard. Sometimes you get in those tough situations. And they found themselves, they were trapped. They were, you know, right at the edge of the Red Sea. And they looked behind them, and the Egyptians were chasing after them. I mean, no, your past will try to chase you down. And if you're not careful, and if you don't apply the message I'm going to be speaking this morning, your past is going to catch up to you, and your past is going to overtake you, and you're going to find yourself doing the same things that you used to do that God had already delivered you from. See, I always say that when God takes you out of something, he takes you out in order to take you in. And he took the Israelites out of Egypt because he promised to take them into the promised land. Plans for a hope, plans for a better future for their life, for them to fulfill the call of God as a nation and as individuals. And it's the same for us today, that many in this room, that God has taken you out of some stuff. How many here say, man, God has taken you out of some stuff? Come on, you got to talk to me, church. You got to talk to me. I know, you know, down there in Jacksonville, amen, they like to talk back when I'm preaching. I like that. Come on now. Amen. The South, they like to preach a bit. Hallelujah. Amen. But God brought us out. But here they find themselves, Egypt is chasing them down. But they were trapped because they were surrounded by the ocean on one side, the enemy on the other side, and there was nowhere for them to go. And they began to cry out to Moses. Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt? You brought us out here just to die? What's the plan, Moses? Where are we going to go? We don't see a way out. See, in order for God to take the Israelites to the promised land, there were certain lessons that the Israelites had to learn. A way of living, a mentality that they had to learn in order to take possession of the new land. The number one lesson that God was trying to teach his people, not only coming out of Egypt, but the entire time in the wilderness, even during the Joshua generation, and even in our generation today, the one lesson that God wants to try to teach his people is the lesson to learn how to walk by faith. Somebody say faith. It's the main lesson that God was trying to teach them. Because the new future that God had for them required a different way of thinking. It required a different mentality. It required a different way of walking, a different way of talking. Now I want you to think about it for a moment. For over 400 years, they were living as slaves. They did what they were told, and if they didn't do what they were told, they were whooped. Come on now. And they were fed their portion every day, and they got into a routine. For 400 years, generation after generation, they were stuck in a routine, stuck in a certain way of thinking. But God brought them out and said, no, I'm taking you to a new place. But in order to step into this new place that I want to give you, you got to think different. You got to walk different. You got to talk different. God says, I want to teach you how to walk by faith. But they find themselves trapped. And they're like, what, Moses, we're going to die here? And look at what Moses says to the people in verse 13. In verse 13, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. I mean, you heard that scripture before. Amen. It's a scripture that has encouraged us. But as I was praying, you know, the Lord shed fresh light on this scripture. When you really look at it, this is Moses' response to the people. It doesn't say that God told Moses to tell the people, be still. God gonna deliver you. Moses, as a man of God, was just speaking in faith. He was speaking in faith based upon what God did yesterday. Based upon the deliverance that God did while they were in Egypt, where the people, all they had to do was just be still, and God was gonna bring the deliverance. You know, and basically Moses is saying, you know, as a good pastor, man, God's gonna work it out. How many had somebody in the church tell you that one time? Hey, just trust, man, God's gonna work it out. Just be still, man. God's gonna work it out. It's all good. It's all gonna come together. And this was just a pastor encouraging his people, hey, man, God's gonna deliver you. But Moses didn't have a clue on what God was gonna do. Moses didn't know what was gonna happen, right? Moses, as a good pastor, was just saying, hey, just chill out, right? Tell your neighbor, chill out. You know, sometimes when we're going through it and we hear somebody tell us that, hey, man, don't worry, God's going to work it out. Yeah, easy for you to say you ain't in the storm right now. Easy for you to say you're blessed. All your bills are being paid. I don't know how my bills are going to be paid. I mean, no, it's easy to say those words unless you're the one receiving them. Come on now. But this was Moses' response to the people. Just hang out. Be still, and God's going to deliver you. But then in verse 15, God responds. And it says, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move forward. So when God responds, God did not want the people to stand still. God was saying to Moses, Moses, you had a good intention to tell the people to stand still. But I don't want the people to stand still. I want the people to move forward, to move on. Tell your neighbor, move on. Now, I want you to think about the situation they're in. They're trapped. They're surrounded. They got the ocean on one side and an enemy army on the other side. There is literally nowhere for them to go. And that it was in that moment that God says, what are you doing sitting here crying like a little baby? Come on, I know we don't got no babies in Milwaukee, but, you know, in Jacksonville, you know, we got. God said, quit crying like a little baby. Get up and get going. Get going. Start moving. Move forward. But the situation, they're looking around. God is saying, okay, get going. Get moving. Move forward. They're like, where are we going to go, God? You want us to swim across? You want us to walk on water? Oh, yeah, Jesus didn't do that yet. Come on now. Where do you want us to go? It was in an impossible situation where they couldn't move nowhere that God says, move forward. The question I have for us today is, when God tells us to move forward, when God tells us to move on, do we say amen and step out in faith, not knowing what's going to happen? Or do we come up with all the reasons, all the excuses of why we can't do it? Move forward. God, but there's an ocean in front of me. There's an enemy behind me. Where are we going to go? There's an ocean of debt. I can't do it. There's an ocean of, you know, discouragement. I can't do it. There's an ocean of fear. I can't move forward. There's an ocean of the lack of resources. I can't move forward. You know, this was a personal word that God gave me just during a time of prayer. You know, as many of you know, we're in Jacksonville, we're in a building season where, you know, God has given us a property, but it needs some fixing up, like some of us. Come on now. It's looking a little rough on the edges, on the inside. Come on now. I need some new plumbing and some electrical, like some of us. Amen. And one day I was sitting there in prayer with the Lord. And he just gave me this scripture and he gave me this word. He says, move forward. And then I started thinking, God, but I ain't got no money. I don't have the people that I need. I don't have the resources that I need. God said, I didn't ask that. He says, move forward. You know, in our natural thinking, we start looking at the natural. I started looking at the bank account, you know, and ain't showing nothing. Come on now. And I need like another $75,000 or so to fix that building up. Right? And then I look at my people on Sunday. Amen. None of them got jobs. And I'm like, oh, God. God says, move forward. And I'm just looking at the ocean like, I'm looking at the enemy. I'm looking at the lack of resources and the lack of finances and the lack of people. God says, no, just move forward. Move forward in faith. In faith. You can't see it. You don't know where it's going to come from. But it's a walk of faith. You step out by faith. And you just say amen. You just say, if God said it, it shall be done. If God delivered us, he delivered us because he's taken us somewhere. He's not going to let us die in the desert. He's not going to let us die in the wilderness. But God has a plan and God has a purpose. So we're just going to trust God in his plan and in his purpose. So when God says move forward, when God says go ahead, when God says get up and get going, he says that because as we get up and get going and as we move forward, God's going to do the miracle. God's going to part those seas. One of the aspects of faith that I have here is faith focuses on the promise, not the problems. See, faith doesn't merely see the ocean. Faith sees the other side. How many know in the natural, you can't see the other side of an ocean? Faith doesn't just see the ocean in front of you, the problems in front of you. Faith sees the other side. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. See, some of us, we struggle and we're not making any progress within our life and within our faith and our walk with God because all we see and all we focus on is the problems in front of us. All we can see is the debt. All we can see is the lack of money. All we can see is the despair. All we see is the fear. All we see is the backbiting. And we see the people talking about us. And we see this. And we see all the problems. Or maybe you're involved in a ministry. And all you see is like, you know, man, is that people, when we preach the gospel, nobody wants to respond. We just see the problems. But we got to lift our eyes off the problem. Come on now. You got to quit looking down. Your faith got to, you got to look up and you got to be able to see the other side by faith. You got to get a vision of the other side. What is it going to look like when you get your breakthrough? What's that life group going to look like when it explodes and it starts multiplying? You start launching out life groups all over the place. What's this church going to look like when it's filled and every chair is filled with a loved one and a family member and somebody from the streets of Milwaukee? What's it going to look like? Do you got a vision? Can you see the promise? Because how many know God has promised us the inner cities of the world. God has promised us the city of Milwaukee, the city of Jacksonville. He's promised us the nations. And not only the nations, but God has promised us descendants. He's promised the next generation to rise up. And I'm telling you, it blesses my heart to see the next generation taking over the worship in Milwaukee. Come on now. You got Elias up here, man. I'm looking at that kid. I'm just like blown away. You know, he's so young, but there is such an anointing upon his life. And, you know, he could come up with these excuses. I'm too young, and I'm too scared, and I'm too shy, and, you know, people aren't going to respect me. They're going to look down on me, you know, because I'm young. Come on now. But no, he steps out in faith, and he leads us in worship. And then I see little Cedric over there. Come on now. Learning those drums. You know, it brought me back to when I first came to this ministry. At that time, it was little Alex. He must have been like 8 years old or something like that. And he was playing that keyboard, come on, playing those drums. And then we had another kid from the street, amen, Shambe, playing them drums. He must have been like 10, 11, 8 years old. And that was the worship team. God anointed it. God poured out his spirit. And from that generation, God built a church, built a base. So the promise is, you know, not just for expansion, but even the next generation. But can you see your kids saved? Can you see your kids serving God? Can you see them delivered? Can you see them doing great things? Or is all you see is the problems that they're causing? Right? Are you focused on the problems or are you focused on the promise over their life? Start declaring the promise over their life. Can you see it? Come on now. See, you got to be able to see the other side. Don't get stuck in the cloud. Don't get stuck in the circumstances. But let your faith rise up and focus on the promise. That's why you got to get into God's word. You got to get into God's word and get a hold of that promise. Come on now, because how many know we all lose sight at times? How many get discouraged sometimes? I guess it's just me. Come on now. I can get discouraged. But then I get into God's word and I'm like, no, God, you promised me this city. God, you promised me that my children will be saved. God, you promised me that this building is going to get fixed. Come on now. That we're going to see treasures coming in and families and young people and men and women. And I got to hold on to that promise. So when God gave me that word, move forward in faith, I got a whiteboard right in my office where I pray, and I wrote it with big letters, move forward in faith. So every time I pray, I look at those words. Okay, God, let's move forward. Second thing about faith, faith moves forward. It doesn't cling to the past, and it doesn't get stuck in the present. In Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, you know, God challenges Israel again, and he's actually referring to the people coming out of Egypt in this scripture. And it's even on that banner up there. I remember when we made that banner. It was our 5-year anniversary, right? Our 5-year anniversary banquet. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. God says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Tell your neighbor, get over it. They didn't hear you. Tell them again, get over it. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Faith moves forward. It doesn't cling to the past. It doesn't, see, the Israelites were having a problem because they were clinging to Egypt. They were clinging to their lifestyle. They were clinging to their mentality. They were clinging to their belief system. But that belief system didn't do nothing for them. Can I hear somebody say amen? God says, forget those former things. Stop clinging to what doesn't work. Let it go. If we're to be men and women and young people of faith and move forward and answer the call of God and receive the promises that He has for our lives, there are some things of the past that you just gotta let go. You gotta stop clinging to those things that are only there to keep you stuck and keep you in the past. Some of us gotta let go of some addictions. Like God delivered you, but you keep dibbling and dabbling. You keep going back to the same old places, the same old people. Why are you clinging to something that is only killing you? Why are you trying to cling to something that's killing your faith? Why are you trying to cling to something that is only forfeiting your calling? It's amazing how many times we cling to things that are destroying us. Anybody that ever had a smoking habit knows what I'm talking about. Come on now. Like, we just like, we know it's killing us, but we just can't let it go. You know what that is? It's called an idol. It's a form of an idol. If you can't let it go to seek God and to serve God, it becomes an idol in your life. And the first and greatest commandment, right? Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Some of us got to let go of some addictions, smoking habits, that social drinking. Come on, somebody. Because you might be that next man up, that next woman up. But you're still clinging to something that's stopping you from moving forward. Some of us gotta let go of some unforgiveness, of some things that happened to you in the past, some people that hurt you in the past. Oh, I'm church hurt. Let it go. It's your bitterness and your unforgiveness that is stopping you from moving forward. It's stopping you. Let it go. Let it go. Do not dwell on the past. You know how you know when somebody's dwelling on the past? They keep talking about it. If all you do is talk about how that person hurt you, you post on Facebook, Instagram, how they hurt you, right? You call your friends, you tell them how they hurt you. You know, because when you talk about it, you're dwelling on it. And if you're dwelling on the past, you can't move forward to the future. You got to learn how to let it go. Some of us got to let go some things that's keeping you stuck in the past. Unforgiveness, hurt, pain. It's all good. It doesn't matter where you grow up or how you grow up, because I got some news for you. We've all been through some things. You ain't the only one that suffered. You ain't the only one that's been abused. You ain't the only one, come on now, that been slandered and hurt. You ain't the only one. Welcome to the club called life. But we love to think I'm the only one. And we're sitting on the shore of the Red Sea having a pity party. Poor me. pastor don't understand me. The church doesn't, they don't even call me. I didn't show up last week. They didn't even call me. They must not care. Man, let it go. Somebody say, let it go. You got to let go of the past. When you move forward in faith, to move forward in faith, you can't cling to the past. But you also can't get stuck in the present. See, the people of God were now, they were delivered out of Egypt. And even after God did a miracle, and God parted the Red Sea, and they walked through on dry ground, and they defeated the Egyptians. They were all drowned in the sea. Now they're on the other side of the ocean. But it's in that place you got to be careful not to get stuck in the present. See, many in their journey, in their walk with God, they're willing to let go of some things of the past, and then God brings them to a place that now they're free, they're delivered. Maybe they let go of some addictions, some relationships. They're in church now. They're in the right mind. Come on now. They're not all smoked out no more. Now they even got a J-O-B. They got some money coming in. And many get stuck in that place. They get stuck in the present with where they're at right now. Oh, man, it's, you know, God is good. God has blessed me. Got the money coming in. The bills are paid. Got help. Man, you know, God is good. And they get stuck. And they forget. No, I'm doing a new thing. I'm taking you somewhere. I'm taking you somewhere good. How many know that God is taking you somewhere on a journey? But you got to be willing to follow. Even Jesus, when he calls his disciples, he didn't just say, hey, come sit with me, you know, let's hang out. He said, no, follow me because I'm going somewhere. Jesus, where are you going? I'm going to save the world. Will you follow me? To follow somebody, they got to be moving. I know some of us, we say, yeah, I'm following somebody. Yeah, but you're following a parked car. You're following somebody that ain't going nowhere. That ain't doing nothing. Who are you following? Some of you are following all kinds of people on Facebook, Instagram. Where are they going? Come on now. Are they going somewhere? I want to follow the people that are going somewhere. People like Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene. I want to follow people that are going somewhere, like Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie, the elders of our ministry. I want to follow people that are moving ahead and moving forward to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Because I don't want to get stuck in the present. I don't want to get stuck in the now, because God has so much more in store for us. But you can't get stuck in the present. That's why I always say you can never get too satisfied with where you're at. There's always got to be that discontentment in your life, in the sense of like, man, I know God's got more. And it keeps you pressing forward and keeps you persevering and keeps you praying in faith. Because if you ain't going nowhere, if you ain't got no faith to go nowhere, you got no reason to pray. Your prayers are just like, God, help me out of this mess. God, heal me. And God is saying, why should I heal you? Are you going to do something with the healing that I give you? Or are you going to go back and do the same thing? God, speak to me. What are you going to do with the word? Just say, oh, that was a great word. And share it on Facebook. Or are you going to do something with it? Are you going to apply it? Are you going to put it to work? Because if we take the word and put it to work, this church is going to multiply. There's going to be people up in the balcony. There's going to be double services happening. This building ain't going to be big enough. You're going to be launching out people all over the world. But some of us got to get out the mud. Some of us have been stuck in that mud for too long. And you're in that like sinking sand. And being out on the beach is good. But you got to move forward. Can I hear somebody say amen? So faith moves forward. It doesn't cling to the past and doesn't get stuck in the present. Third aspect of faith, moving forward in faith. It's not your condition that moves the hand of God. It's your faith. It's your faith. In the book of Mark, chapter 2, it's a powerful story. Verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, a few days later, when Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I want you to notice this. It doesn't say when Jesus saw the condition of this man who was paralyzed. Now, you know, some of us church folk, we like to think of Jesus like, you know, he has, you know, pity on the poor and pity on this poor man. Why wouldn't Jesus have compassion on this man for his condition? Why wouldn't Jesus heal him because he was paralyzed? He needed healing. But that's not why Jesus healed him. As a matter of fact, there were many in Israel that did not get their healing when Jesus was walking around. Do you ever think about all the people that didn't get healed when Jesus was walking the earth? Jesus didn't heal everybody. There were some that he walked right on by. Man, that's cold. It's cold-blooded. Jesus? Yes. Because Jesus, it is not your condition that moves God's hand. It is faith. It was the faith of this man's friends that got this man not only his physical healing, but a spiritual healing. It was not the condition. Some of us think that it is our condition that's going to move God's hand. God, I need to be able to pay my bills. God, can you please, you know, I'm going to open up this piece of mail and it's going to be a check. And we're praying, God, you know that, God, if you bless me, I'll give to the church. God, I need to be able to provide for my family. My kids are starving. No, they're not. And we plead with God based upon our condition. And we wonder why God ain't blessing you financially. It's not your condition that moved God's hand, it is your faith. And faith is not just a belief. Faith is an action. Right? If you want Jesus to meet your financial need, don't pray based on your condition, the fact that you need finances. But step out in faith. Let Jesus see your faith. Give $5,000 to the building pledge. Sow a financial seed as an act of faith. But Pastor Jamie, I can't afford that. And that's why you're never going to have money. Come on, somebody. There's an excuse. A reason why we can't do it. See, you got to stop saying why you can't do something and find the one reason why you can. And the only reason you need, right, is the faith that is inside of you. That says, I'm stepping out in faith. It was the faith of these men that got their friend healed. When Jesus saw their faith, not their condition. Not their condition. See, the miracle was in the movement. The miracle wasn't in the mind. It was in the movement. It was when these men looked at that crowd and said, the house is too full and we can't get in. But instead of looking at that ocean of obstacles and saying, well, I guess we can't get in to see Jesus today. It's a little bit too crowded. Everybody in there's got COVID. You know, we don't want to get close. And looking at that mountain and that obstacle, instead of making the excuse and finding the reasons why they couldn't move forward with getting their friend to Jesus, they stepped out in faith and say, no, Jesus is in there. He's the healer, and we're going to get to Jesus. They climbed the roof, tore open the roof, lowered this man on a mat, just put him right in front of Jesus by faith. And when Jesus saw the movement in their feet, when Jesus saw the movement that these men weren't taking no for an answer, they weren't, you know, sitting around making excuses. They decided, no, we're going to get our friend to Jesus. No matter the cost, they probably had to pay for that roof at the end. I know if it was my building, I would make a pay. Come on, somebody. But as they moved, as they put feet to it, then the miracle came. See, it's when you step out by faith and start moving forward in your faith, that's when God starts doing miracles. It's when even in the midst of financial lack, you sow big seeds in the kingdom of God, that's when you start experiencing financial miracles. If you need healing, you gotta step out in faith and you start running, you start walking, you start doing something. I can't jump, it hurts too. Man, you start doing something by faith. You pray healing upon somebody else. If you're believing God for God to give you treasures out of darkness, maybe you're a life group leader. You're one of the leaders within the church, a worker within the church, and you say, man, yeah, let's go win some souls for Jesus. Let's see this city saved. Well, put some movement to it. Open up a ministry. Open up a life group. Open up a street rally. Come on, somebody. Oh, but it's not Sunday. I can't evangelize. We only evangelize on Sundays after service. Come on now. I'm going to tell you something. I'm sure Pastor Charlie will agree with me. You don't need permission, right, on a church day to go evangelize and win somebody to Jesus. Come on, somebody. Got a question for you here this day. Do your steps provoke God to move? Or are you sitting there at the side of the sea, grumbling and complaining that while everybody else around you is blessed, you're like, man, God, why me? Do your steps, because remember, it is faith. Let me say faith. Faith that moves God's hand. When you step out in faith, God moves. Come on now. So you know what I'm going to do when I get back to my city? I'm going to go to that building. I'm going to grab my hammer, and I'm going to start building. Come on now. God, you're going to better provide the finances, God. You better provide the people, right? But I'm not just going to sit around and wait until the miracle comes. I'm going to keep moving in the call of God, doing what God has called me to do. Come on, somebody, and believe God for the miracles, and believe God that God is going to give me souls, and God's going to give me treasures, and God's going to give me families, and God's going to give everything that we need to build the ministry there in the city of Jacksonville. Some of you are waiting on some things before you step out in faith. But it is your step of faith. It is in the movement that the miracle comes. You know, this church, Victory Outreach Milwaukee, was built on steps of faith, on radical faith. You know, Pastor Charlie has the most faith of anyone that I know. Come on now. And this church was built on radical steps of faith that might not have been the most strategic way. But it provoked God to move. God says, I got to honor that faith. I remember the story when Pastor Charlie was called to come to the city of Milwaukee. Before he even got here, he already had an appointment to look at a building. And he told the story of he's walking into that bank with a briefcase that's empty. He looked at poor, but he had no money and no people. But he walks in there like, yeah. And within 7 months of being in the city of Milwaukee, purchasing two properties. You know, because that step of faith, like God's just like, man, I gotta honor that faith. It provoked God to move. And God moved and not only provided us the building, but I remember when God moved and he opened up the door to finances and he gave us all the finances we need to renovate that property and fix it up. Come on now. And we smashing down walls and we put it in the carpet and we're doing some things. Come on, somebody. And then we were building by faith and we were outgrowing that church. It was too small because God was moving. And then it was time for another step of faith. Come on, let's go to that next step of faith. Let's go. You know, God's going to give us a bigger property. And we would go to different properties and we would visit them. Come on, now we're like, oh, this is the one. Yeah, this is the one. There was one there on 35th and Scott. Yeah, this is the one. I remember there was one on the north side, like off of Hampton. Something. Man, this is the one. Taking steps of faith. And then God opened up the door for this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful facility right here. You got to realize what you got. Come on now. I took it for granted until I got to Jacksonville, and I'm like, oh, man, got no building. All right, we're having church in the school right now. Got to set up, tear down, set up, tear down, set up, tear down. But this church, this ministry was built on steps of faith. What about your steps? Do they provoke God as the worship team makes your way? Are you willing to move forward? God is challenging you. God is challenging this church. Move forward in faith. All the reasons why you can't, today we're going to leave them at the altar. No more excuses. Somebody say, no more excuses. You got to know that you're chosen by God. You know how I know? Because you're here. You're here. Some of you should be dead right now. You should be in a grave right now. Some of you should be doing prison time right now. But you're not. You're in the house of God, receiving the word of God. Why? Because God has chosen you. God has called you. And God wants to take you somewhere. And he wants to use you to make an impact in this generation. He wants to use you to make an impact in this world. So God is telling you what he told Moses. Why are you sitting around crying out to me? It's time to stop praying about it. And it's time to start being about it. It's time to get up off that floor. To get out from underneath those excuses. And to rise up and be the man of God that God's called you to be. And be the woman of God that God has called you to be. You ain't here by accident. You are here by divine destiny. 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 It's time to rise up. It's time to get up and get going. And get going. God's going to use you to build ministry. God's going to use you to reach your family and reach lost ones and reach people. As we stand, as we get up, are you willing to let go of some of those things? Some of us got to let go of the things that are killing us. Because you cannot cling to the past or to the present and cling to Jesus at the same time. God, I want the best of both worlds. You can't have it. In order to follow Jesus, you got to let go of the world. You got to let go of some things. But when you follow Jesus, you will never regret it. You'll never regret it. Jesus is walking by this day and he's asking the same question he asked the disciples. Will you follow me? The things that you've been holding on to, the grudges, the unforgiveness, the addictions, are you willing to let it go? Are you willing to step out in faith and believe God for greater things? Now, don't get me wrong. When you step out in faith, it's scary. You know why it's scary? Because you have no idea where you're going. See, we're a people, we like to have all the details. God, where's the first pit stop? God, you know, how are you going to provide? How are you going to work it out, God? God said, don't worry about it. Just trust me. Just step out. Just step out. Are you willing to step out? Are you willing to let some things go? To move forward in the call of God upon your life? Some of us have been stuck too long. It's time to get up and get going. And moving forward in the call of God. God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't given up on you. You know how I know he hasn't given up on you? You're still here. You're still here. But what you gonna do? Are you gonna sit there and stay the same? I would say, nope, Jesus, I'm done with excuses. I'm done being stuck. I'm going to step out and believe you for the impossible. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm going to step out by faith. And if that's you, I'm going to open up the altar. Just step out of your chair and step up to the altar by faith. It's symbolizing you letting some things go. You're stepping out. Come on, you're here. God is calling you. God is calling you. God is calling you. Respond, respond, respond. Say, God, yes. I'll let it go. I'll answer the call. I'll do your will.
I will follow you. I know you call my name. I will follow you. I will follow you. I know.
Come on, whatever it is that's gotten you stuck, just lay it at the altar. Just lay it at the altar. Lay it at the feet of Jesus.
I know I'm chosen.
Lay it at the feet of Jesus.
Great.